You are listening to Joy 94.9. It's Sunday Arts Magazine. Rowan Brown.
Oh, who's he?
He is the, he's good, my good friend, but he's also going to star as Peter Allen in the upcoming staging of The Boy from Oz.
I've heard he's a hack.
He's a hack.
Don't listen to what anybody says.
he's a hack. He's in the studio with us. Welcome, Ro.
Thanks for having me. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
So we always like to start with your background. How did you get involved? Were you a little kid that would sing at birthday parties?
Well, to be honest, I never really sang. If anybody knows a chorus line and the I Can Do That story, yeah, that was me. My sister started ballet. She was older than me. Mum enrolled her at ballet and I used to go and watch her. My mum and I would sit there and I would generally not sit and get up and show off and show what I could do. And the ballet teacher said, he's actually got some natural talent. You know, does he want to do this? My mum thought that I was just showing off and she was like, no. And I said, yes.
How old?
I was four.
Four? Oh, wow.
So I was training to be a ballet dancer. That was where I was headed. And
because you are a very good dancer.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So it obviously worked. All the practice.
He doesn't deny it.
I don't deny it. Thank you. Well, why deny it? I was training to be a ballet dancer. My mum also had a subscription to the ballet and I would go and see at least one with her, if not two, per year. And I would sit up in that box and look down at David McAllister or Greg Horsman or Lisa Pavan or Lisa Bolte and just go, I want to be doing that one day. Not the point you work, that looked very hard. But I was like, I want to be a ballet dancer. And I'd never done jazz before. And I went to the Victorian College of the Arts Secondary School, started in year eight, and did my first jazz class. And it was like an awakening. I literally did it, and I was terrible at it, but I loved it. I loved the freedom. I loved the expression. And it just felt like breaking out from the ballet kind of conforms. And it was like I saw everything in Technicolor.
So what was it like actually, you know, like as part of your final couple of years of school that you go to, like this performing arts school? Mm. How different does it make your life when you go to a school like that instead of just your normal?
The thing that I think that is incredible about a school like that is, and I talk about this a lot, that when you're a kid or a teenager, you're kind of figuring out life. You don't really know what's happening, what you want to be. And if you go to a general high school, you could be sitting in a classroom of 30 kids who are all sitting there going, well, I want to be a policeman. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be this. I want to be that. There's no collective thought. So when you go to a performing arts school and you're in a class where everybody is striving to do the same thing and be better, and you're watching other people, you grow collectively and you push and challenge each other. And there's something in that, that collective mind thought does do something to you. So I love going to school every day.
I did it
from year 8 to year 12, and it was the best thing I could have ever done. I was doing minimum of four to five hours a day of dancing Monday through Saturday.
Wow. Mm. But as you said, it also, you know, the joy of doing it, the whole wonderful feeling. Mm-hmm. And at school, it's going to school.
Yeah. Yeah, enjoying going to school is you know, kind of like an oxymoron sometimes, really.
So was it hard actually having to do your maths?
The schoolwork, yeah. You kind of weren't interested. By the time that you realised this is what I want to do, it was very hard to continue on the education side of things because all you wanted to do was get back in the class and keep working on the stuff that you've been working on.
What happened when you left there?
When I left there, okay, so I moved from Melbourne to Sydney to kind of pursue performing arts. Because I trained as a ballet dancer, I was like, well, I don't have enough training as a jazz and tap dancer, and I hadn't really kind of started singing yet or acting. wasn't even in my mission objective. I just wanted to dance on stage. So I went to Brent Street. I started there, and then literally within 4 weeks, I think I only lasted there 4 weeks. I got my first job.
Oh, good.
What was your first job, Ray?
My first job was Grease the Arena Spectacular in 1998. And the only reason that I got that job was because of my work ethic in the classroom at Brent Street. A few of my teachers left to do Grease, and they were two boys short. I don't know how this happens in a professional show, but they got on Monday, they're like, oh, we need two more boys. How did that happen? And so everyone kind of put their heads together, and a couple of the teachers said, there's this kid at Bren Street. You should get him into audition. And here's the interesting story, and I only just remembered this. The night before I auditioned on a Wednesday. I found out about the audition on a Monday. The night before was my very first shift as an usher at the old Her Majesty's Theatre, which is now a car park in Sydney. And I ushered one of the very first previews of The Boy from Oz.
Whoa.
So it's a bit of a full circle moment. So cut forward from Greece to you actually did perform in The Boy from Oz at some point with the Todd McGinney production.
I finished doing Greece, and it was Boy from Oz had opened. They were about 3 months in, the dead of winter. Everyone was dropping like flies with injuries and sickness and things like that, and they realized that they needed another male swing. So I auditioned for the show. I was there with my fellow people who had taught me to, you know, at Bren Street, and I was like, oh, there's no way I'm getting this job. And then I literally, I walked away with getting the job and performing in that original company with Todd, Chrissy Amphlett, Jill Perryman.
And how, that must have been electric, because that show, you know, a brand new Australian musical is a big thing anyway, but a brand new Australian musical that works and is applauded and sells is a whole nother gig. So what was that like, that experience?
I mean, when I talk about The Boy from Oz, for me, it broke the mold. It really kind of, it established the Australian musical. Priscilla wouldn't have been if not for The Boy from Oz, you know. And so I feel like we owe a lot to, you know, Ben Gannon, Nick Enright, Robert Fox, the people who really championed that.
And they're
the creative
story,
team, behind it to create this wonderful show. And when you think about it, Peter only died 6 years before the show was up. You hear of these shows that happen on Broadway that, you know, 20 years it took them to kind of get a show up after somebody's passed away. Like, there was this immediacy that they felt like we have to tell the story and keep his legacy alive. It was exciting to be a part of it, and also, again, to talk about where I've come from. Not once did I ever think being on that stage. I just wanted to dance and be part of the ensemble. I never ever watched Todd thinking, I want to do that one day. That was not in my head at all.
Wow. All right, well, we've got a little bit to travel yet.
That was 20 years ago. So if we've only just begun, we'll be here for a long time.
So, you've done so many shows over the years.
Yes.
Give us an idea of some of them.
Oh, God. Cats, West Side Story, Chicago, A Chorus Line, The Producers, Singing in the Rain, Anything Goes, Thoroughly.
Now, you went on the road with Singing in the Rain, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Because that was a pretty big major production.
It was huge, I mean, they had rain, they had everything. They had all the bells and whistles.
And you took somebody's place, didn't you?
Through Adam Garcia injuring himself,
to be quite honest, let's be honest. That production was so good, but he let it down so much. So I don't reckon there was an injury. I reckon he might have been pushed off the stage.
It's all speculation, ladies and gentlemen out there. No comment. He hurt himself, and I literally got a phone call the next morning, 9 a.m. I was working on another show at the time up in Sydney, a shorter, smaller independent theatre production, and was offered to come in and basically keep the curtain up.
And also, it's worth saying, and I only know this because we're good mates, but you had gone through a very rigorous audition process in the first place to be a part of that production, Singing in the Rain, because you had played the role in the production company's version a few years back. With me, but it's not about me. So it wasn't like someone just went, oh, who can do it? Rowan can do it.
I'd gotten down to the wire. My name was being thrown around to play the role. Then they went with Adam, which is fine. I understand. Yeah. Ticket sales and all that kind of stuff. Yep. They wanted a marquee name. Completely get it from a producer's perspective. However, you know, he injured himself. So then they were like, well, who can do this? And they kind of came to me, and I think I was up and in the show within 7 days.
Wow. what was it like, you know, because it's such an iconic play.
Yes.
Well, a film to begin with and then the play. And then, you know, like taking on that role and going on the road with it must have been, you know, like just awesome for you.
Oh, absolutely. And I kind of think back to it too, to kind of talk about my history as well, is that I didn't know my grandmother must have had the biggest crush on Gene Kelly, because we used to watch, you know, Singing in the Rain as a kid. I never knew that there was a medium of musical theatre on stage until I was a little bit older and had done jazz class. So to think that when you're watching this movie as a kid, that one day you'd be playing that role, like, it's an iconic role. Mm. And I think anybody with the skill set who is a male who can sing, dance and act, that is one of the top roles that that is a coveted kind of role that you would want to play. So yeah, it was a huge privilege and honor to be able to play it and do it, you know, as much as I
How long did you do it for?
I jumped in, I'm trying to think, I jumped in July and we closed end of January.
Right.
So I did Sydney, Brisbane, Adelaide, Perth.
Right.
I just missed out on Melbourne, where all my family is.
So you've done so much with the production company before.
Yeah.
I've seen you in so many things over the years. Last year you did Brigadoon, and you know, like, which is a show that can go either way. You know, it can be so corny and whatever. You and the cast pulled it off. You did a great job of it. I took somebody that's not really into musical theatre, and they actually said, I enjoyed that. I wasn't looking forward to it, but
like
I really enjoyed it.
When we can convert, that's always fun.
So the production company, what they do for this city, you know, like on putting on the shows, but also for people like yourself and John, giving you opportunities to play these iconic roles.
If you look at most musical theatre household names now, and probably for the last 10 years, the production company have given them the platform to really show what they can do. And it's because of that platform that then they've had the experience to then translate that into major productions. You know, you've got Alex Rathgeber, Lucy Durack, my wife, Christy, myself, you know, and like then you've got John, you've got, like, there's so many people who have started there playing their first roles and then kind of moved up. So I just think that they are so supportive, and what they've done for the industry and for Melbourne as an art city is, I mean, you can't even measure it.
Because they really give you a language, I think. They give you a language, and you only know this in hindsight, but they give you a language that you don't even know that you don't speak, because you come out of these training institutions and you want to be in a musical or whatever, but you actually don't know what being in a musical is about or like or how hard it is until you're actually in one.
Yep.
And when you're in one for the production company, you have to get it up twice as faster as you usually would.
Yep.
And then on top of that, you're working with industry leading professionals in the cast, but also on the creative team and you know, the designers and the production team, all of that. So it just holds you in such great stead for going off and into
and giving you the experience, you know, and you don't realize that, as John says, until you're in something else and you go, oh, thank God for all of that, because now I know how I can implement that into every other facet of what job I'm doing.
Well, let's talk about it. You've got the lead in their next production, which is called
The Boy from Oz.
Oh, I think I've heard of that one.
Small show. There's some guy in it.
Somebody. Yeah. A legend here in Australia, and I was lucky enough, I saw him live.
Which is brilliant. I love when people tell me these stories about Peter. I have so many people come up to me and they have a personal, you know, connection to him, and I love that.
Yeah.
What's yours?
Well, just that it was one of the... I was back in Adelaide. Mm-hmm. I was not all that old when I saw it, but wow, what a showman.
Mm-hmm.
It just blows you away what he did in the show, which comes across in the show that you're going to be doing. It's also his incredible story on what he achieved as a songwriter and those great songs and taking it to, you know, like, Radio City Music Hall all of that, a boy from Australia, the boy from Oz, achieving that greatness. And to be playing that role is must be
huge shoes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, probably only a size 9, but they feel like clown shoes. Like, yeah. I mean, his shadow is huge. And again, to talk about the Boy from Oz breaking the mold for the Australian musical, what Peter Allen did to break the mold for Australians achieving overseas, and his tenacity and his drive and his kind of never give up attitude, which he gained from his mother and all of the tragedy that they kind of went through when he was younger, taught him so much to just persevere and keep going and keep. He had this infectious, warm, witty, funny personality that kind of really anchored him to then, and people levitated to him. You hear Bette Midler talk about him. They're like, Peter's name was on everybody's lips for so long, but that was the effect that he had when people would meet him or see him in a show. They were just like, he just had this thing
about
that,
him.
That you just couldn't not like him, even if you hated him.
I just want you to share with our listeners, because this is a great story too, that the Art Centre let you into the archives of Peter Allen's stuff. So just tell David and I a little bit about
that. Okay, I went to that exhibition when it was on.
Yeah. Well, I did the launch, and Claire, the head of the Art Centre, came to me and she's like, we have this incredible collection that we would love for you to have access to at any time. And I was like, oh, this is incredible. And yeah, it's really funny that, interesting that I forget the guy's name, but he held on to it for so long. It kind of passed from Peter to friends of his, and then they were like, they had all this stuff in a garage and they didn't know what to do with it. And I think it was just, it was either if somebody didn't take it, it was going to the dump, basically. And so they reached out to somebody here in Australia and they said yes. And so it all came out here, and it was curated and put into a collection. And there's so much stuff. There's his original notes that he has written on so many letterheads from the Four Seasons or Qantas First Class kind of thing, where he's just jotting down ideas, and you see these what turned into lyrics or just this poetry and these ideas of stuff that's kind of, you know, it's like a journey inside his head. And then these personal photos that he's taken of himself with, you know, every star from the 80s and 90s and, you know, beautiful photos of just him and Greg. There's videos of him and Greg, you know, on holiday.
Who is his long-term partner.
His long-term partner, for all the listeners out there, yes.
But then all the clothes. The costumes.
Yeah, costumes, like his original stuff. And then there's stuff from, you know, when Todd did the show, when Hugh did the show. It's a timeline of his life. And to be able to go through that and just sit there and spend hours just trawling through these things. There's telegrams from every big, you know, kind of like Angela Lansbury, Cheetah Rivera, stuff like wishing him congratulations on his show. They came and saw it just going, you are the best thing ever. You know, it's incredible for me to have gone through his stuff that will, you know, effectively inform me when I'm on stage about, you know, all of the memories and stuff and why. Because as you were saying, all of the things that he went through, he put into his songs. And he became a prolific songwriter, an incredible performer, but it's his songs that are his legacy. It's the songs that will live on. And they're just beautiful. I mean, he wrote about what it's like to be an Australian. You know, I still call Australia Home is the unofficial anthem. And whenever anybody hears it, they just go, oh, it just does something to you. Yeah. And that...
Oh, Tenfield Sadler.
And Tenfield Sadler,
I saw Bette Midler sing at the last tour she did here. Mm-hmm. And she cries at the end of it.
Yep.
You know, like, and she, you know, beautiful version of it. And as she said,
well, that was so close as well. Yeah. They were really, you know, they didn't get along at the start.
Oh, I could imagine. Yeah. He'd be a bit feisty at times. Mm-hmm. And the other interesting thing is he didn't have the best singing voice, but he was such a great entertainer that it didn't matter.
Yeah, and the thing that I like about it too is that he worked at it. You know, he was aware that he wasn't the best singer, but he used to go off and have singing lessons that, I mean, I don't know of a lot of professional artists who do that now, you know, but he worked at it. He knew that he owed that to himself to be able to keep singing and obviously doing his shows. He'd do a 2-hour show and literally dance and he's up on top of the piano and he needed that kind of technique and regularity to keep his voice in check. But, Yeah. No, you're right. He didn't have the best voice, but what he did was that he was able to emote with it, and he put everything into, yep,
absolutely,
into it.
So here you are. Restarted your rehearsal schedule?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow's the official day. I started last week doing some things, but tomorrow's the official day.
Okay. Are you excited?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. That sounded tentative, didn't it? Yes. I'm absolutely excited, but I'm a bit nervous as well. You know, like it's a lot to do. I barely leave the stage. I literally go off, change a shirt, wipe the sweat off, come back on. I think the longest time I'm off stage is 3 minutes.
You're surrounded by some pretty incredible performers on stage in this production.
Absolutely.
Just give us a quick rundown.
Who have you got? Geez, you got Caroline O'Connor, fresh from Broadway and the West End.
Do you know, I love the way that she comes back to do stuff with the production company. Mm. It's just wonderful.
Yep. Yep. I think, you know, she knows where she started and it's exciting. And also it's continuing her Judy Garland legacy that she did in Over the Rainbow. And that's somebody who she looks to as an icon. So I think when you get the opportunity to play Judy Garland, you say yes. Yep. You fit it into your schedule.
I'd say yes if they
asked. John was next on the list. But then you've got Lauren Hunter.
Can't wait to see Lauren as Liza.
Play Liza. You've got Robin Arthur as Marion, just warm and beautiful. And Francis Greenslade as you know, Dick Woolnough and Dee, his amazing manager.
Yeah.
And then you've got a great cast in the ensemble who play multiple roles all through it. You know, there's it's a really great show. I mean, just going through the script with Nick Enright's words are just, it's so poetic. Yeah. And to talk about this remarkable man is.
And how long have you got?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Which I always find fascinating with the production company. You've got to, you know, like, must be so much hard work within that 2 weeks.
Yeah, you kind of, I mean, I'm pretty much off book knowing what I need to do. The 2 weeks you spend basically offering up what you think the choices are, building relationships with the fellow actors and learning the choreography and you know, creating a symbiotic kind of piece. Coming in with answers, coming in with a lot of questions. But yeah, 2 weeks is a short period. But within that, you don't have too much time to overthink it. So that's where I think a lot of magic happens. I think
And the fact is that you have, you know, been involved in the show before, even though it was a long time ago. Do you remember much?
Obviously I hear things and it kind of transports you back. But because I haven't played this role, it's not like I'm coming back to something that I know intimately. Yep. I know.
But you know the songs.
I know the songs. Yeah. It's interesting when you go and you think you know the lyrics and then you're actually looking, oh, well, that's not what I was singing.
Yeah. That's me. That's
like
me.
Every pop song that you remember from a kid and you're like, oh,
yeah,
I thought it was something other than that.
Well, we're going to be there on opening night.
Brilliant. We will be.
So just for our listeners, what's the season?
Okay, we're playing at the Arts Centre. We open on the 11th of August and go right through until the 26th.
Brilliant.
2.5 weeks.
You get tickets at the Arts Centre website or
Or production company website. We do 8 shows a week. And, there's going to be a lot of fun on stage. So come and support Australian theatre and an Australian icon.
And, you know, like, can't wait to see you on stage doing an iconic role. It must be so exciting playing such an iconic role.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Yeah.
We've been talking to Rowan Brown, who is set to star in The Boy From Oz as Peter Allen. Thanks for joining us, Ro.
Thanks for having me.
You're on Joy 94.9. It's Sunday Arts Magazine.
When my baby smiles at me, I go to Rio de Janeiro. The samba and la bamba. Now I'm not the kind of person with a passionate persuasion for dancing or romancing, but I give in to the rhythm and my feet follow the beating of my heart. Whoa, whoa, when my baby smiles at me, I go to Rio de Janeiro. I'm a salsa fellow. When my baby smiles at me, the sun lightens up my life, and I am free at last. What a blast! Me, the sun alive.